So I've been kind of preaching a series on and off on the book of Jonah. And so I'd like to go to chapter 3 today. And I've called this message, An Army of One. So I think that's, you'll see. An Army of One. So let's read this passage. It's only 10 verses, the whole chapter. And it's about Jonah goes to Nineveh. Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. How many times? A second time. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message I have given you. This time Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to see it all. On the day Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowds, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. And he was loving it. The people of Nineveh believed God's message, and from the greatest to the least, they declared a fast and put on burlap to show their sorrow. When the king of Nineveh heard what Jonah was saying, he stepped down from his throne and took off his royal robes. He dressed himself in burlap and sat on a heap of ashes. Then the king and his nobles sent this decree throughout the city. No one, not even the animals from your herds and flocks, may eat or drink anything at all. People and animals alike must wear garments of mourning, and everyone must pray earnestly to God. They must turn from their evil ways and stop all their violence. Who can tell? Perhaps even yet God will change his mind and hold back his fierce anger from destroying us. When God saw that what they had done and they had put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction he had threatened. Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, which today is modern-day Iraq. It was the greatest city, this is just a bit of revision because it's been a few weeks. It was the greatest city the world had yet seen. It is estimated it took, and we actually read it, but it's actually 3 days to walk around the city from one end to the other. And there was an immense military stronghold. There wasn't an army anywhere that could stretch around the circumference of such a great city. It was impregnable. But God, say it with me, but God can change and shake up anything, even the greatest city in the world. And he decided to do it with an army of one. Is anyone here prepared to stand for what God is in your life? Is anyone here prepared to have the courage when someone asks you at work, why don't you swear, to stand up for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because every one of us has something inside of us called the power of the Holy Spirit, which can change someone else's life. Will you be an army of one? Might be for your grandchildren. Might be for your kids. By the way, Andrea is being called to, actually my daughter rang and asked if she could come over later in the week, just gone, and because both our kids, my daughter and her husband, are extremely ill and couldn't get out of bed to look after their new baby. And the baby's sick too. And so that's why Andrea's not here this morning. She sends her love. And I know you always ask, so there you go. Today you know why. And so actually she's coming. She's got to go back to work tomorrow. So she's off picking her up late tonight on an aeroplane. Fortunately, Adelaide and Perth are still okay. So that's good. An army of Jonah was a prophet. He was told to do his prophet thing. Tell them to repent or else. That's what prophets do. They're sharp-edged swords. And the king and all the people listened, as we just heard. Now, let me ask you, you and I have all had dreams. Have you ever dreamt? Remember when you were a child, did you want to be a fireman? All the boys, come on. You wanted to be someone who rescued someone else, right? There's something in us. All kids play doctors and nurses. Yeah? And then my granddaughter is too small yet, but, you know, I'll antagonize her soon. Here's the thing. You might want it to be, if you're a woman, you might want it to be Wonder Woman. There's something in us that wants to be a hero, right? You only have to look at the movies. Every single movie, there's got to be a hero or hero, yes, whatever they call that for the woman. And that's the way it is. So, we all love heroes. Would we agree on that? And as we grow up, we realize it's not such an easy or simple thing to change the political system or the culture of a city or country, and many of us become cynical. Dorothy Sayers was a Christian writer born in 1893 who influenced the 19th century positively. And one of her most recognized sayings was, and this is not the saying, I've got it in a minute, yep. But she said this before that, man is never truly himself except when he is actively creating something. And then Dorothy said this, and we've got the slide for it. The sin of our times now is not power-hungry materialism. It's not permissive spirit of lawlessness, but rather the sin that believes in nothing. That's the problem. Hates nothing. Finds purpose in nothing, enjoys nothing, lives for nothing, and remains alive, for there is nothing for which it will die. I think Dorothy was onto something. And what she was saying is, there is nothing bigger than my own needs and interests. And we are in this season right now of leap into spring. There's a card on your seat if you haven't been able to give yet. I would seriously consider that you take that card, because we are of benefit to ourselves when we think of someone else rather than just us. And so there is nothing worth dying for, nothing. We have become quite a casual, especially in our Western world. We've got freedom here. It's all about us. You don't have to look too far. And God has placed us on this earth with a dream that started when we were a child to make a difference. No? Is that just what? We were placed on this earth to make a difference. Every single one of us can be an army of one. We were placed on this earth to make a difference. Is that Rebecca just leaving? That's okay. No, it's fine. Rebecca's got a great story which she can share next week. It'll be fine. Just on leap into spring and the impact it's having in Africa from one of our African people. Beautiful little story. Heroism must believe that there is a power much bigger than me and my needs. Something I will die for if necessary. I will honour it, live for it, and die for it. The truth is, this kind of conviction is gone from our Western world. If I feel nothing is bigger than me, then I feel small. I am not making a difference to anybody. The bigger I get in my eyes, the smaller I get in my eyes. And the real question is there anything gripping your life, a cause you are serving, which you will die for? And if you live in accordance to this, it can change the world. And if you do not have anything like that, you will find your heart and your soul shrivels up because you are built for something greater. And not just throwing some money at a charity occasionally. Not just supporting a good cause. Christians are the only radicals left if we will become what we are. Christians alone believe the kingdom of God is both present and on the way. I know we believe that here. Do you believe that here? It's present and it's coming. Oh, what a glorious Savior. What a great God we serve. Is there anything bigger in your life than paying the rent, your mortgage, saving enough for the kids, your bills, and family holidays? Is there truly anything bigger than you are living for that grips your heart? A cause that you are serving for which you will die. Are you an army of one? And there are four things from this chapter which I'm going to briefly go over, and they are God's persistent grace. Who's glad that God is persistently gracious with us? Amen. Second, God's calling. Third, God's strategy. And fourth, God's power. Persistent grace. So Jonah, as we already know, has let God down. We all remember that? He let God down. What did he do? He ran the other way. And I haven't got time to go there now, but the word of the Lord came to Jonah on chapter 3, verse 1, a second time. Now, Jonah's basically been court-martialed, and yet here we read clearly that he's playing a key role in the war. Who knows we're at war? And Jonah ran away. He did not want to fight for God. He said, "What's the point?" Who's ever said that? What's the point? And Jesus did a similar thing with Peter. He did it with a lot of people, actually. And other than Judas, Peter had the worst track record of all the disciples. He walked away from God. He went back to his fishing business. He even denied God entirely when he was asked, "Are you one of them?" And yet it was through Peter that the gospel reached the Gentiles and built churches. If you only have to read the first couple of chapters of Acts. But the Jonah principle is this: life out of death. Say it with me: life out of death. Failures make you useful. Matthew 16, verse 4, just so we get the whole picture and in context, only an evil, adulterous generation would demand a miraculous sign. So the Pharisees are asking, if you're really the Son of God, then do some signs. But the only sign I will give them is the sign of the prophet Jonah. Jesus is saying, you will know who I am by my weaknesses, not by my strengths. What happened at the cross was Jesus' greatest weakness, but you and my greatest joy. Jonah, in reference, same thing. He's in the whale. It's like he died. But now he's resurrected again. He's found Christ again, if you like. Can we all find Christ again? So will you let him resurrect your life today? It is out of Jesus' death that you and I receive life. And John 12, 24 is true of all of us. Unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. It is failure and suffering that make us the most useful. Oh, I wish you wouldn't have said that. Isn't it true of the Bible when you read? It's through the failures and us actually recognize that we need God, that we are transformed. David disobeyed five of the commandments. I've talked about this once before, I think. Peter denied Christ, Jonah ran away from God, and God used them all. And when you and I say, I am ready for service, God places us in boot camp. Boot camp is trouble. It is the mistakes, the pain, the suffering that makes us a servant. And today, an observation. I'm sure you'll all agree with me. Who is helping change society in respect to the handicapped? The parents of handicapped children. Who is changing society to crack down on drunken drivers? The relatives of people who have lost loved ones to drunk drivers. Suffering makes you a servant. Or you will live for nothing and die for nothing. Now, Andrea, my wife, is amazing at keeping non-church friendships and just friendships in general. She's just fantastic at it. And one of her friends lost her husband tragically some years ago, quite young. And we've kind of stayed in contact over the years. And it's probably been about a decade, actually. And her friend, many years before that, used to follow Christ, and we used to actually catch up, go to church together sometimes. But after her husband died, she completely lost her purpose for life. For her, she was living like there was nothing to live for, so anything goes. Who knows that you'll go either one of two ways? And I can understand for a season of grieving, but a decade later, unless you have a Saviour in your life, unless you are living for a bigger cause than yourself, you are going to live for nothing. And when you live for nothing, anything goes, and it's a dangerous place to live. There is nothing greater than you in your life. And if that is how you see it, God wants to transform you today. He doesn't give up on anyone. He's called a persistent grace. But God comes into our lives to bring life out of death. And I'm believing, and I know Andrew's believing even more so, that we're going to see a transformation because God doesn't give up on our friend. And suffering and pain will not change you unless you allow those things to draw you out from yourself. And every suffering you come up against will either make you a better person or a worse person. It's really up to you. I want to ask a crucial question today. And I've heard it so many times being a pastor over these last close to 30 years. Do you think you are too big a failure for God to use you? I want to give you an example from an Old Testament king. Manasseh, an Old Testament king, he was the 14th king of Israel. He was sacrificing children on the altar. Who thinks that's pretty bad? And yet, when he humbled himself, when he prayed to God for help, a king and a man who had done unspeakable crimes, even sacrificed his own sons. And on death row, he realizes his wrongs and God restored his kingship. God's love and mercy can always forgive and give me a new start. Here's the key. When we can learn from guys like David, Manasseh, we must repent. Turn to your neighbor and say, you must repent. What that really means is you turn around, you do not do that thing anymore. You've trusting the Lord rather than yourself, I'm no longer going to participate in that kind of behaviour because I know that Christ is my saviour. We turn to God, not away from him. Jonah ran away from God, now he's back with God. Chapter 4 is another story. We'll get there. Maybe I'll get there before I finish up. And the truth is, God uses Jonah, and God uses Peter, God uses Manasseh, and God can use you. He can make you an army of one. He will either drive you into compassion and humility, or you will drive yourself into bitterness, despair, and self-pity. And here's the truth of God's persistent grace. God will always restore you. God will always, doesn't matter what you've done, God will always restore you. Will you allow him to totally reign in your life? And the second thing we can learn from Jonah chapter 3 verse 1 is that mission is not for the well-rested. Well, I've just been in the belly of a whale for 3 days. Can I have a rest? Well, you put yourself there and I rescued you. And verse 1 shows us that mission is urgent. Mission is, it's urgent. It is not reserved for people with money. It's definitely not for people with time on their hands. It's not for people without money. It's not for people with the gift of the gab. It's not for people with a theological degree. It's for everyone who says, I belong to God. And if we belong to God, then we need to be an army of one. God is by nature a calling and sending God. And like Peter, like Jonah, like Manasseh, when you finally see who I am, if you really want to know me, I live to change people. And God is a spiritual cyclone. Who's ever been in a cyclone of God? It's not pretty at the time. But hold on to him, because the peace comes. He never sucks us in without spitting us out. I will bless you, so you will be a blessing, still stands today. He never heals you, except to make you a healer. Jesus gave us everything, paid every price, he got involved. Ask yourself the question. Here is where I'm giving myself to serve God and other people. Ask yourself right now. Here is where I am giving myself to serve God and other people. Because God wants you to show him that. He wants your will. He wants all of it. Will you give it over to him? Thirdly, God's strategy. God's strategy is to change Jonah's attitude toward the city. Now, it's interesting that Pastor Charlie got up and started talking about attitudes today. Oh, you know, the Holy Spirit's got a plan. A city is where things get changed the most. Who believes that the city of Perth can be changed and transformed? Culture changes through the city with the most, because it's with the most people, has the most people, which has the push-on effect of changing the world. The city is the heart. God loves cities. He knows that when a city full of people has a heart change, it changes lives. We'll just take our little city of Fremantle, if you like. God, through you, can change a person, can change a person, a city can be transformed. Cities are places with more people than plants. And it seems to me that God loves people more than trees, plants, and even dogs. Oh, it's just my humour. The last verse of the whole book of Jonah. Should I have not have compassion on that great city where 120,000 people live. The last verse of the whole book. You are either sent or called, or I hate this place. I'm not doing that. Don't use the city, serve it. Don't use your company, serve it. You can only be an army of one when you serve your city, your employer, whatever it is. You will make a difference. Lastly, the power of God. Who likes the power of God? It's probably my favorite thing. I love the power of God. And the king of Nineveh, verse 6, repented. He turned around. And the Bible teaches that the city's problems will only be dealt with repentance. Repentance is a change of life. And the king of Nineveh says to the people, repent of your evil ways. And when the word of God sweeps through a city, change will be evident. Can we believe for a change for our whole world? At the moment, with all this chaos and COVID, obviously. And I was reminded of the Wales revival. I'm just going to read it to you from Evan Roberts. 15 years old when he started praying for his city of Wales. What we need, this is him, is a fresh vision of the cross. And may that mighty, all-embracing love of his be no longer a fitful, wavering influence on our lives, but the ruling passion of our souls. At 15 years of age, Evan started praying consistently for change to his nation, and his prayers were answered. God would wake him up at 1 a.m. and he prayed until 5 a.m. Not bad. Mandla, what do you think about that? At age 26, he witnessed personally people turning from their sinful and rebellious behavior as they came to Christ. Now, I've got an example here because you and I can be an army of one. He didn't prepare sermons. Praise the Lord. I can do that soon. He didn't prepare sermons. He simply spoke what God asked of him, and the Holy Spirit did the rest. What's quite interesting is that similar to Nineveh, over 100,000 people gave their lives to Christ in a short period of time, under a year, in Wales, the United Kingdom, 1904 and 5. Now, I said I'd give you an illustration. Boxing Day 1903, 40,000 miners went to Cardiff for a big celebration, and most of them ended up worse for wear after drinking themselves into oblivion, and there were hundreds of arrests. However, Boxing Day, 1904, a year later, only 20,000 miners went to Cardiff for the celebrations, and there were only 2 recorded cases of drunkenness, despite it being the holiday period. Strangely, the police had very little or nothing to do. The town magistrates would go to court only to find that there were no cases. Families were happier, and many children received Christmas presents for the very first time now that the miners' money wasn't being spent on alcohol. Bad language dropped significantly. Mine managers were conducting Bible studies with the workers on company time. And the company had to go and buy 4 additional tool sheds as employees brought back all the tools that they had stolen over the years. True story. It all started with an army of a 15-year-old boy with a heart to change his nation. And what our nation needs, what our world needs, is repentance rather than negotiation. And if you are tired for the lack of greatness, if we've got a keyboard player, that'd be fantastic. If not, all good. If you are tired for the lack of greatness in your life, come on, can we be greater than we are right now? Can I stir every one of us up today, including myself? Become an army of one. Maybe he has to get through to you many times like he had to with Jonah. But don't give up on God. You can be a world changer like Jonah, Peter, Evan Roberts, even Manasseh. God will use your scars. God will use your mistakes. God will use your difficult times. Will you be brave enough to hand over to him your life and rather than negotiate with him, truly turn around? Can we stand to our feet, church? Truly turn around. Let's pray this prayer together. If you're willing, pray along. Dear Lord Jesus, today I am prepared to be your servant. I will be your Jonah. I will be your Manasseh. I will be your Peter. Today, turn me around so that my thoughts are centered on your thoughts, so that my heart is transformed to be your servant, to change another life, to change a city, to change a nation. Thank you, Lord. I am important to you. I trust you today. I put aside all my prejudices and choose to serve you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. People of God said, amen. You know what cost Christ? It won't cost you anything other than what you have to give up someday anyway. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, third time, fourth time, fifth time, whatever it is. Come on, let's stir ourselves up today. God bless you, church. Have a great week.